safe, stable, and affordable home that allows them to thrive. Information about ways to prevent and solve homelessness is at MelvilleTrust.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, presenting A Christmas Story, the musical, based on the 1983 holiday movie, Tuesday, December 9th, 7 p.m. Tickets available at lead.ku.edu.
37 degrees in Lawrence, 42 in Abilene, 39 in Chanute. It is 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, many, many other frequencies too, and always streaming online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through social and behavioral approaches to developmental disability research. Information about research at KU is at ku.edu.
Hope you'll stay tuned. At 6:30, we have news headlines coming your way. Then coming up at 6:44, we all know that dating can feel pretty high stakes. This time around, NPR's Life Kit has some tips for taking care of your mental health while pursuing a relationship. Coming up here on KPR.
KPR listeners are engaged in their communities and they frequent businesses that support public radio. Become a KPR sponsor and reach those most likely to take action at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
Imagine your favorite Christmas carols performed by a real-life swinging big band. That's the formula of Big Band Christmas, KPR's annual holiday bash with the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra. The show is Saturday night at Liberty Hall. It's a really good idea just between you and me to get your tickets before that night. You can get them at Ticketmaster.com or the Liberty Hall box office. It's all made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister. Healing Smiles of Topeka. Lows around 30 tonight, highs in the mid-50s tomorrow. Don't get used to that. It's going to cool off a lot as we head toward the end of the week. Currently 37 degrees in Lawrence, 32 in Atchison. It is 6:20.
Policies in the Western Hemisphere that include anti-immigration crackdowns, military strikes on suspected drug smugglers, and threats of regime change in Venezuela. His administration is now reaching back two centuries and calling the approach the Trump corollary to the Monroe Doctrine. That story tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us for Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on KPR1 and KPR2. We simulcast our news magazine shows. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication with an emphasis on stories that affect residents of Lawrence, Douglas County, and Kansas. Information at lawrencekstimes.com.
We have news headlines coming up in 30 seconds. It is 39 degrees in Manhattan, 39 in Topeka. It's 6:30.
Others to take on Netflix and Amazon and Apple and Disney. Netflix is already the biggest streamer. President Trump said Sunday he'd be involved in reviewing any deal. Ellison has built warm ties with Trump, and Trump cheered the changes made at CBS News since Ellison acquired it this summer. Though you never do know how that will end up. On Sunday, CBS's 60 Minutes interviewed a critic of Trump. On Monday morning, Trump wrote that CBS is worse than ever before under Paramount's new owners.
You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The Trump administration will be sending farmers $12 billion to help them stay in business and compensate for their trade war losses. Harvest Public Media's Frank Morris reports.
Many Midwestern farmers lost money this year. President Trump's trade wars didn't help. Tariffs boosted the already high cost of fertilizer and farm machinery. Retaliatory tariffs temporarily hobbled export markets for American farm commodities. The administration will use a U.S. Department of Agriculture fund to cover the funding package. Missouri corn and soybean farmer Richard Oswald says most of the bailout money will go straight to banks and suppliers.
There's money to pay the bill now. Liquidity is another word for it. A lot of farmers have liquidity problems.
Oswald says the bailout will let some farmers pay off last year's operating loans so they can borrow more to cover planting this spring. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Frank Morris.
A Supreme Court ruling last week is allowing Texas to use a new congressional map drawn in Republicans' favor. In Kansas, Republican state lawmakers have watched the case as a bellwether for their own redistricting plans. But Kansas Senator Jerry Moran says he does not see a reason to break from normal redistricting practices.
There's a bit of fairness that I think ought to be preserved about this issue, and we have a practice that we've utilized for a long period of time. We reapportion at the census moment, and that makes sense to me.
The U.S. and Kansas constitutions require congressional maps be redrawn every 10 years based on U.S. census data. There have been several efforts nationally to redraw maps outside of that 10-year cycle. Kansas Republicans hope to revisit redistricting in the next legislative session. And the Kansas State University football team will not be playing in a bowl game this year. The Wildcats finished the season with 6 wins and 6 losses, good enough to earn an invitation to a bowl game. But the school recently changed head coaches, and athletics director Gene Taylor announced yesterday the team would decline a bowl invitation. That's a costly decision. ESPN reports the Big 12 Conference will be fining K-State $500,000 for failing to fulfill its contractual obligations to its bowl partners. It's 6:35.
Support for NPR comes
with us and stay up to date on the news weekdays with Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition right here on KPR, 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow on both KPR 1 and KPR 2 stations. Matthew Algio will have the latest local news.
Support for KPR comes from Mammoth, presenting Alison Krauss in Union Station June 21st at the Topeka Performing Arts Center. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster.com. That's Alison Krauss in Union Station at Topeka Performing Arts Center June 21st.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia, many stations all across the state, all listed for you online, where we're always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. We have a little more All Things Considered still to come. Then at 7:01 on your KPR1 stations, news headlines, followed by Stardate, then an hour of classical music with Destiny, followed by Classics Live. If you're joining us on KPR2, at 7:01, we will have This American Life coming your way.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, providing solutions for mold, asbestos, and other indoor environmental quality issues since 1982. For clients ranging from private homeowners to realtors to corporations. More information at CromwellEnvironmental.com.
This is KPR. It is 10 minutes before 7.
From NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from your part-time controller, specializing in nonprofit accounting and committed to supporting nonprofits with financial management services such as budgeting and forecasting. YPTC.com/NPR. From Heifer International, where people can donate animal gifts to families living in poverty. Whether it's a goat, chicken, or cow, each gift is intended to help families earn a sustainable income. Heifer.org/NPR. And from Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on safe driving habits at progressive.com. Not available in California or from all agents. This is NPR.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with Morning Edition from NPR News, where we ask questions you want answers to. Get context, clarity, and accountability every weekday from NPR News.
Join us for Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m., right here on your KPR stations. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
Up next, we have news headlines. That will be followed by Stardate, then an hour of classical music with Destiny, followed by Classics Live.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka Symphony presenting the Snowman Concert, December 17th, featuring the animated film The Snowman and holiday favorites brought to life by the symphony. More information and tickets available at topekasymphony.org.
Mostly clear skies tonight, clouding up a bit as we head into the overnight hours. Lows tonight around 30 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-50s. Down to the mid-30s tomorrow night, highs in the mid-40s for Wednesday. The time is 7:01. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Trump administration announced plans to send farmers $12 billion to help them stay in business and compensate them for their trade war losses. Frank Morris of member station KCUR reports.
President Trump's trade wars aggravated a bleak equation for U.S. farmers. His tariffs jacked up the prices of the supplies and equipment they need to buy, and retaliatory tariffs cut export sales and drove down grain prices. Many Midwestern farmers lost money this year. Missouri farmer Richard Oswald says the bailout will help cover bills and loan payments, but won't make up for this year's losses.
They're attempting to replace profit with bailout money. It's not the same as having a good market and making a profit.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture says it will distribute bailout funds by March, with row crop farmers taking $11 billion and other farmers splitting another $1 billion. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris.
Netflix is being challenged after it announced last week it would attempt to purchase Warner Brothers Discovery. Today, Paramount, which lost out in the Warner Brothers sweepstakes, announced it is mounting a hostile takeover bid. Steve Futterman reports.
Paramount says its offer is superior to the one being made by Netflix and suggests that Netflix could face regulatory problems. The Netflix deal is worth around $83 billion for a large share of the company. The Paramount offer for all of the company would pay $30 a share and is worth around $108 billion. Entertainment attorney Jonathan Handel says both sides are digging in their heels.
I think it is going to turn into litigation. There are various claims that each side could bring, and particularly focusing on, is my deal the better deal for shareholders?
The Paramount offer includes some backing from an investment firm run by President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles.
New research shows that AI chatbots can influence how people feel about political candidates, NPR's Windsor Johnston reports.
A new study published in the journal Nature and Science tested whether AI chatbots could sway voter opinions. Researchers asked thousands of people in the U.S., Canada, and Poland to chat with bots programmed to make simple arguments for or against specific candidates. After just a few minutes of back and forth, many participants shifted their views, sometimes by several percentage points. Experts say the effect comes from the personalized exchange. The chatbots quickly respond, adjust their tone, and tailor their reasoning in a way traditional political ads can't. But the study also found some chatbots mixed accurate points with misleading ones, raising concerns about how they can be used in future campaigns. Windsor Johnston, NPR News.
Stocks closed down slightly today. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate December 8th. A couple of years ago, a space telescope discovered something odd about NGC 6505. The galaxy is encircled by a ring. It isn't part of the galaxy itself. Instead, it's an image of a background galaxy, one that's billions of light years farther. Einstein rings are named for Albert Einstein because they were predicted by his theory of gravity. The gravity of a foreground object acts as a lens. It bends and magnifies the light of a background object. On small scales, gravitational lenses have revealed everything from black holes to rogue planets. Galaxies are much bigger and heavier, so they produce more dramatic lenses. Many of them create bright arcs. But when the alignment is just right, they can create a full circle. NGC 6505 is a good example. The galaxy is about twice the diameter of the Milky Way and several times its mass. It's about 600 million light years away. The background galaxy is 4 billion light years farther. The lensing effect has allowed astronomers to measure the amount of dark matter in the center of NGC 6505, as well as details about its stars, discoveries made possible by its beautiful ring. NGC 6505 is enwrapped in the coils of Draco the Dragon. The galaxy is more than a third of the way up the northwestern sky at nightfall. It's visible through a small telescope, but you need a big telescope and a long exposure to make out its ring. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Well, good evening, dearest classical friends here on KPR. I am Destiny, and that was a fanfare for Two Trumpets by Marc-Antoine Charpentier. I hope you are having a great Monday. I am your stuffy host, not in personality, but in throat and nose and spirit. Seem to have gotten the winter bugs. Finally, they caught up with me, but I am feeling better. But forgive my voice. It's a little froggity tonight. I do have an announcement for all of you. Yes, it's a big one. That's why I opened with a fanfare. Should I make you wait for it? I will, because here's your hint. It's something toward the unknown region. Wait, that's music by Ray Vaughan Williams. I think we should listen to it. It's about 12 minutes long with the London Symphony Orchestra and Chorus and Malcolm Sargent right now on KPR.
Thank you.
Rayfon Williams toured the unknown region with Malcolm Sargent and the London Symphony Orchestra and Chorus here on KPR. I am Destiny. Sorry about the froggy voice, folks. I'm getting over a cold. I have a big announcement for you about Yours Truly. I do. But before I tell you, I'm going to tell you about some other news first. KPR continues to expand its news coverage and music because of support for more than 6,000 listeners just like you. In-depth reporting matters so much to our members that they are willing to spend 10, 20, or more every month to ensure this service continues to grow. And their support matters. So does yours. Take a minute and go to kansaspublicradio.org and donate today. And thank you to all of you who donated last week. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Manhattan Arts Center presenting Annie the Musical, featuring songs like Tomorrow and It's a Hard Knock Life, running December 5th through the 7th and 12th through the 14th. Tickets at manhattanarts.org. Okay, what's the announcement? Well, besides the fact that Beethoven Symphony No. 7 premiered on this day a long time ago, I am moving to the morning shows. I am. Cordelia is retiring, and you'll get to hear me in the mornings starting next week. I'm really excited and happy for Cordelia. Retiring is such a great and exciting achievement, so we wish her the best. We will miss her, though. I've got big shoes to fill. All right. Beethoven Symphony No. 7, Roger Norrington and the Radio Symphony Orchestra of Stuttgart, now on KPR.
Thank you.
1813 on this day and conducted by Beethoven in Vienna. Here on KPR, Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 with Roger Norrington and the Radio Symphony Orchestra of Stuttgart. Wow, one of my favorites. Oh, guess what? My Beethoven, as I cough from the cold that I have, my Beethoven action figure finally arrived in the mail. I'm so excited. Yes, I know I'm crazy. Well, are you going to help me plan for Saturday's Classics by Request? I hope so. Can you go to the website, our website, kansaspublicradio.org/classicsbyrequest? There's a form you can fill out. I love hearing from you, and you can help me plan the show. And remember, starting next week, I'll be joining Cordelia Monday morning, and then she'll be handing the baton off, as they say, as I move to the morning and she retires. Thanks for being here. I'll see you tomorrow night on KPR.
It's Michelle Martin. Every weekday morning, my Morning Edition co-host and I have some questions.
What do you say to that concern from voters that there needs
Can this squarely be laid on the feet of the government shutdown, or are there deeper problems?
Do you agree it's important for government officials to be truthful before Congress?
Get information, context, accountability on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on O'Connell Children's Shelter, serving Douglas County in Northeast Kansas, offering residential and prevention services to at-risk children and families, as well as foster home support. Info at oconnellchildrensshelter.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Topeka Zoo, hosting Toast at 10, a New Year's Eve celebration at the zoo with a plated dinner, entertainment, silent auction, and champagne toast at 10 p.m. Tickets at topekazoo.org. This is Kansas Public Radio. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Thank you. Applause for the Chamber Orchestra of the Sunflower Music Festival 2025 with guest conductor Alex Klein. That was the Second Symphony by Franz Joseph Haydn. Welcome to opening night for Sunflower 2025. We're here in White Concert Hall at Washburn. I'm Cordelia Brown with Classics Live from KPR. Since last year's theme was firsts, so many first concertos for symphonies to choose from, this year's theme is called Back for Seconds. In fact, next we'll hear the Second Symphony of Robert Schumann, an uplifting piece despite his depression and bad health problems throughout 1846. Here's Alex Klein, guest conductor tonight of the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival, to direct Schumann's Second Symphony. Thank you. actually the third symphony he'd written. He wrote two previously in 1841. That was the so-numbered Symphony No. 2 in C major, Opus 64 by Robert Schumann. Completely sketched out over Christmas 1845, Schumann spent most of 1846 writing it all out and perfecting the orchestration. We've just heard Schumann's second symphony played by the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival Chamber Orchestra in their opening night performance from Friday, June 20th. Alex Klein, who's usually principal oboist here, took a turn as conductor. Chuck Smith is KPR's sound engineer, who records these live and local classical performances for Classics Live. I'm your classical friend and concert mate, Cordelia Brown. Productions of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Another KPR recording. That was concert pianist John Nakamatsu, who came to KPR March 29th, 2024, to play the third impromptu, Opus 90, by Franz Schubert. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, featuring Nick Haines and local guests, experts, sharing insights and context around major news stories on Week in Review. Available on the Kansas City PBS YouTube channel. And from the Lawrence Civic Choir, presenting A Festival of Joy, featuring a variety of choral classics Saturday, December 13th, 7:30 p.m. at First United Methodist in downtown Lawrence. More at Lawrence Civic Choir's Facebook page. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg, Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. And, of course, through KansasPublicRadio.org. It's KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Streaming platforms are battling for the power to reshape the nation's entertainment landscape. Netflix struck a deal last week to buy Warner Brothers Studios and HBO, but now Paramount is upping its bid to $108 billion for all of Warner Brothers Discovery, including CNN. NPR's David Folkenflik reports.
Paramount chief David Ellison says he believes deeply in the future of movies and entertainment, but Ellison says Paramount needs Warner Brothers to take on Netflix and Amazon and Apple and Disney. Netflix is already the biggest streamer. President Trump said Sunday he'd be involved in reviewing any deal. Ellison has built warm ties with Trump, and Trump cheered the changes made at CBS News since Ellison acquired it this summer. Though you never do know how that will end up. On Sunday, CBS's 60 Minutes interviewed a critic of Trump. On Monday morning, Trump wrote that CBS is worse than ever before under Paramount's new owners. David Folkenflik, NPR News.
The federal housing agency HUD says it will revise controversial changes to funding for homelessness. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports the move comes amid two lawsuits challenging HUD's plans to dramatically cut back on long-term housing programs.
States, cities, and nonprofits warned that HUD's overhaul could push 170,000 people back into homelessness. In a surprise move, the agency told the court it will withdraw its changes for now to address such concerns. But a government lawyer lawyer said HUD still intends to shift toward more transitional housing and mandated treatment. The agency has also set new conditions for who can get money based on alignment with Trump administration policies, such as DEI and restricting transgender rights. The two lawsuits allege all those changes are unconstitutional. They say Congress has made clear homelessness funding should be based on need and spent on programs with proven success. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.
The Supreme Court appears ready to give the president more control over independent agencies. Justices heard arguments over President Trump's firing of a Federal Trade Commission member today. As NPR's Andrea Hsu explains, such a ruling could upend the balance of power in Washington.
The justices heard arguments today in a case involving President Trump's firing of Federal Trade Commissioner Rebecca Slaughter. The FTC is one of a couple dozen government agencies designed by Congress to have some degree of independence from the White House. Under federal law, the FTC's five members can only be removed for cause. That didn't stop Trump from firing Slaughter back in March. A lower court found her firing unlawful, citing a 1935 precedent called Humphrey's Executor. It put limits on the president's power to remove members of some independent agencies. Today, Solicitor General John Sauer, representing Trump, asked the court to overrule Humphrey's.
NPR's Andrea Hsu reporting. This is NPR News from Washington. A federal judge has approved a settlement that will clear the way for the New Orleans Archdiocese to pay at least $230 million to hundreds of victims of clergy sexual abuse. Negotiations had been going on since 2020. The settlement also includes policies intended to improve abuse prevention and increase transparency over church handling of abuse claims. The college football playoff is set. In the top seed is Indiana, historically one of the sport's least successful programs. The Hoosiers are looking for their first ever national football title, as NPR's Becky Sullivan reports.
No program in college football history has lost more games than Indiana, but with coach Kurt Cignetti at the helm, they went undefeated this season, including a gutsy 13-10 win over Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. The Buckeyes' consolation prize is the number two seed in the playoff. Georgia is third and Texas Tech fourth, all of them with just one loss this season. For the first time, two schools outside the major conferences will compete in the playoff. That'll be Tulane and James Madison. Rounding out the field are Oregon, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Miami. The first-round games will take place December 19th and 20th. The winners of those games will move on to face the top four seeds in games on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Becky Sullivan, NPR News.
A California man says he has marked his 15,000th spin on the Disneyland ride based on the animated film Cars. John Allen Hale says he has been tracking his rides on Radiator Springs racers in a notebook. He says he's gone on it an average of 13 times each time he's been to the park. I'm Ryland Barton. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
Tenor saxophonist Jerry Weldon and the G.G. Grice Jazz Standard Minority opening Jazz in the Night tonight here on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Bob McWilliams. It's the Jerry Weldon album, new one called The Summit, and a six-piece band recorded live at the New Brunswick Jazz Project last year with Alonzo Demetrius on trumpet, Peter Lynn trombone, and Mike Bond, Jason Cloyter, and Carmen and Tori Jr. piano, bass, and drums. Jerry Weldon, who often records with organ groups, but there with his own album. Well, up next, we've got vibraphonist Ted Piltsecker, followed by a classic Stan Getz album from 1967 that had Chick Corea with him, Sweet Rain. In about 15 minutes, we'll go into the vinyl vault here, trumpeter Woody Shaw from 50 years ago. Right now, though, Ted Piltsecker, the vibraphonist's new album, Peace Vibes. And what I really like the most about this album is there's a lot of standards and there's very cool arrangements, like on this arrangement of the Toots Thielemann piece, Bluesette, from vibraphonist Ted Piltsecker on KPR.